Morning, this is Leigh from California.
Morning, this is Darlene, California.
Darlene. Got the 10.
I still have a 9.
That's good.
Better.
The reason I got the 10 is because I've been journaling, so that's the 10, but the 10 come from.
Well, I've been journaling, but I have not been...
About 40 minutes, Denny.
Morning, Doc.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm feeling great. Anyway, while my one's on a phone, what happened is that I'm speaking with an organization.
Okay, you're breaking up, Way.
Do you have any Spanish-speaking women in that organization?
Spanish-speaking, in Chicago.
Good. I want names and number. Can't.
Okay, his name is Hector Concepcion. And, let's see, Denny, you got his phone number here, just a second. Way, I'll give it to you right now. He's got an incredible testimony.
Good.
Okay, his number, that's it right there, it says Hector. Okay, his number is 847-231-3704.
Right.
Okay, and his cell is 847-204-1951.
Awesome.
Okay? Good morning. I heard some others click in this morning. Who's with us?
Anna Little Rock, Washington.
Okay, I heard Dan and Way, and next?
Darlene, California.
Darlene,
where are you in California, please?
Shasta County, north. I'm in Redding.
Redding. So, okay. So you
good morning, Char. This is Jeannie in Phoenix.
Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning.
Anybody doing points here in this group so far?
Yeah, I did a 10.
Away had a 10. Somebody else?
I have a 9.
I had an 8. Jeannie had an 8.
Okay, Jeannie an 8, and I missed the other one.
9 for Darlene.
9 for Darlene, okay. Good. Good guys.
Steven,
great way to start out the week, huh?
Hi, Chad. This is Dottie.
Good morning, Dottie.
Hey, what was that number that you gave out? I just got on the call.
Oh, that was for a Spanish-speaking person.
Oh, Spanish. Okay. What was the person's name?
Hector Concepcion in Chicago.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think he does presentations, doesn't he?
He does. He's got an incredible testimony. He said he wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for the products. He's young and very determined, and I will tell you guys, he's heavy on the product end.
Yes.
Not as heavy on the business end.
Oh, okay. I need someone on. Oh, well. I guess if he's more get on the Spanish day. I sign up 4 on Friday and 2 or 3 more in the process, and they all try to Spanish women.
Yeah, if you can interpret through him and add the business part, just know that you've got to, you know, tag on and say, now, does this give you enough reason to, you know, be serious about the business when you know this, you know, things like that, and let him interpret it whenever you're, you know, finished or whatever, however you're doing it. Anyway, we've had some others join us. Welcome to the Advanced Lifestyle Call.
This is Brenda in Patterson, California.
I'm sorry, didn't catch your first name?
Brenda.
Brenda, I'm sorry.
So Brenda,
thank you.
California.
Patterson, California.
Patterson. So where is that in Junction?
30 minutes south of Tracy.
South of Tracy. Okay.
And somebody else just joined us, too.
This is Lee. Lee.
And good morning, Lee.
Southern California.
And my down, car, right Maddie, near headquarters. I'm sorry.
Lee's near the headquarters, okay.
Right. Somebody else just started to say something, and I think I ran over them. Good morning.
Morning. This is Molly.
Molly, how are you doing?
Okay, good. So.
Great.
Glad to hear you back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Getting back to the normal routine, or the normal routine for here, whatever this is all about.
I don't think you would is it like a normal person, ordinary person.
Yeah, I don't know what normal is anymore. So somebody else just joined us.
Hi, this is Linda Brown from Vancouver.
Good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good. Good to hear your voice. Well, guys, if there's anyone new here, for your benefit, if you haven't heard this before and you're new to the call or relatively new or maybe missed it one other time because you came in a little late, the reason for this call is to disseminate information based on the largest study, nutritional study ever done in the world. It was on 880 million people in China. And from that study, trickled down information to a man named Colin Campbell, and he wrote a book called The China Study. If you're curious about all that they discovered on that group of people, the validity of what we're talking about today, go pick up a book. You can get it at the bookstores, or you can buy it individually or in a set of four books from Focus on Growth. That's just www.focusongrowth.com. And they'll give you a discount on the package if you think you've heard enough to want to go ahead and do something about it, because the others include recipes. The original China study there does not. And the how-to, I think, is very simple, because all I had to do was eliminate some things from my diet, and that got me started. Then I started working on fine-tuning a little bit more the proportions of the different things that I was eating, but the beginning was just eliminating. We went to a plant-based diet May 2nd, and of course I wasn't perfect at the beginning. I was still using some refined foods, and I was definitely using oils and processed oils, because that drops into the processed food category also. Am I hissing at you guys? I'm getting some feedback a little bit here. I'll move my headset in a different position. Anyway, and I did not up the volume. I'll do that. So anyway, that's where we are. That's where we started and where we continue to go. Does anyone that's new or anyone else have any questions? Let's take new people first that maybe haven't gotten all the information they'd like to have.
Cheryl, is it appropriate to refer non-Nikkan consultant to listen to your talk?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely, yes. Because we're here foremost to help people make the best food choices. We're also here to help them with questions and information on Nikkan products that we work with, by all means. But what you'll hear the majority of the time is things related to how we're eating, because that is a huge piece of the puzzle. As I've said many times, our technologies all take our body in a direction of being more alkaline, all of our technologies. The one thing we don't do is feed our body to become more alkaline by utilizing what's in the grocery stores. We have to work on that, because the majority of the aisles are completely full of non-alkaline foods. So we're getting a drip system of acid going in when we eat that way. Whether it's refined, whether it's oils, whether it is animal products, so all categories there produce that condition of the body. So then that just means our products have to work that much harder to counterbalance that when we're trying to create a healthy environment. Questions? Others?
I got a comment.
Okay.
This is Clay. I've been doing really good. Everything, you know, ended. And the only thing last night was I had to want to go to sleep.
Okay, I couldn't hear what happened last night. You cut out.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's great.
Okay, I went to a similar buffet that I took you, Shaw, and I had everything that pretty much what we had, and the only additional thing that I added was two small spring rolls and one white little bun. That two little additional extras have not digested in my system because of the oil in there and the refined. And I noticed that was the only two things that was different to what I was doing. So you can imagine when it's over a week, if you literally take yourself off oils and even refined flour stuff, and milk, of course, already I've been doing that, but your body tell you, get this stuff out of my body because that's how sick I was. It was awful. It's really bad when you clean your body out so well and you just have that little touch. It didn't take much. It didn't take that. I mean, that didn't take much at all.
Now, tell me how you said you noticed the difference.
Bloating, lots of bloating, gas.
Bloating, okay.
Bloating,
yeah.
And not digesting. It's still sitting there for what, almost 12 hours.
But, okay.
Yeah, so that was just a little two things that was different, but make a big difference. The refined, you know, white bread and two little tiny spring rolls, you know. But that little teaspoon of oil, I think, I don't know how much would be in a little tiny teaspoon of spring roll, but I thought, wow. Yeah, so really...
That's one of my first signals, too, is the bloat. Just the difference I feel, you know, from morning to night, I like to feel exactly the same as far as the way my stomach, my digestive system feels, and that will show. I'm going to give you one thing that I learned at the seminar over the 10 days that we were down there. That is a slight contradiction. We've heard about our elimination since we're talking about the digestive system, and this always is a big topic because food in, food out, and I have done well with that. Well, before I left, I was a little concerned with my stool, my, you know, solid waste movement, because it was no longer solid. And according to, I'm going to go against Dr. Oz here for a minute, his definition of what it should look like, was the S. It used to be a floaters, because you had enough fiber in it, and then we heard the S shape, and we've heard all different descriptions if you want to get very, very detailed on that subject. But mine was coming out in a pile, and it bothered me because I thought, with a tendency towards digestive problems, as I had been diagnosed years back, maybe something wasn't right. Well, when we got down there, well into the 10 days, the definition came to us what our stool should look like, and Dr. McDougall said it should be just like a cow pie out in the field. What does a cow pie look like? It looks like a mass, not in any particular shape except a pile. And that was exactly the way he described it. He says, if you've got the fiber, you've got the refined out, and you've got that going the way you're supposed to, that's the way your stool should look daily or each time you have a movement. And by the end of the 10 days, people were all reporting exactly the same thing. Now, there's things that will interfere with that, like taking drugs sometimes can cause a slower movement. many things, stress on the body, pain, you know, things like that can affect it. But that's what you want to see happen. I just don't want anybody to be alarmed as they start into this, like I was, thinking it was a negative because we've been given all these other signs. That's because the average American is never going to get to that eating the way they eat. So does that open up another can of worms here on this call?
No, Sean.
It isn't a worm at all. It's just the way it's supposed to be. So I was pleased to hear that and realize that the amount of fiber we were taking in, I think I said this last week, the amount of fiber we were taking in during that week ranged between 60 and 125 grams a day of fiber. So your intestinal tract is very clean. We should never run the risk of dealing with intestinal cancers when we've got a clean intestinal tract. So anyway, questions, comments.
Did you also notice a larger volume of the mush?
Oh, most definitely.
The mush.
And, huh?
Mush.
Yes, yes, and I will attest that probably a good part of what really starts that going is the whole grain cereals in the morning are wonderful with the fruit. You know, it's just a really good way of not having the bloat and your insides feeling really, really good, especially as we mature. Anyone else?
Sean, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly what's been happening to me. And but I go about two or three times in the morning, so I don't know if that's normal.
That's normal for me, too. I mean, I can drink a glass of water, and before I put any food in, there we go. Sometimes, and also the first thing when I get up, then a glass of water, then we go again. Then after cereal, we go again. So not unusual at all for me. So I don't, you know, I think there's going to be some differences of the frequency on it, but I know Denny has had the same thing, and it's very amazing, guys, when you see how well your system works when we feed it right.
And this is where, you know, the idea is when you come in, quicker come out, better, so it's not sitting in your system day after day, perhaps.
Well, I remember that was the very first article I read back when I was first introduced to the idea of where it started was baking bread. And that was grinding my own wheat and baking my own bread. And it was an article that was written on fiber intake and the difference in elimination between people in Africa on the typical high-fiber diet, natural diet, and people in this country. And it was done by a gentleman by the name of Dennis Burkett. And his name and picture was on the overhead slides that Dr. McDougall used as the forefounder of presenting that information way back, and that was the first thing that I saw, and I'd forgotten all about it at that point. I remembered the article. I did not remember his name attached to it, and the minute I saw the picture and the name in writing, I realized that that was my very, very beginning, even before our son was having problems in school, which I usually attest to being the beginning. That was about a year before that. So, you know, it all... Nutrition is simple logic. There's nothing good, difficult about how we should be feeding our body in a really, really good way. And I also think I gave you the figure, cost-wise, you can eat this way for as little as $3 a day. Now, I'm sure that's starting with dried beans instead of canned beans and things like that, but I'm saying for as little as $3 a day, you can feed yourself a very, very healthy diet. And, you know, I'm thrilled to be able to say that because you know what most families spend on food, and, of course, we've seen the many of us have seen the colored charts of from one country to the next, how they eat and what it costs to put the food on the table, you know, per month. and it's amazing. When you eat really healthy, it does not have to be expensive. We can add to it, of course, with more unusual foods that may not come from our area. But that being said, comments, questions?
I have two questions.
Okay.
With the big increase in fiber, I think that was a lot more than you were used to eating. Did you notice any distress initially?
I didn't, because, you know, mine has been over, I did it, you know, a lot at the very beginning, and yes, more gas, I should say that, but, you know, I still do that with beans and cabbage and certain foods that produce that, but I did have probably more at the very beginning, but other than that, I didn't, you know, I've never had Crohn's, even though I've had some intestinal diagnosis. It was never anything that bad. Now, maybe with that, I've been told that you want to start slow. I don't know what Dr. McDougall's take would be on that. You could probably go in there and Google it, and I know he's got lots and lots of information that I've never looked at on that site, but, you know, I'll refer anybody there. It's just DrMcDougall, two L's, Dr. McDougall, .com. And, you know, from every newsletter, I think he's got 7 years of newsletters there. Each one of them have recipes. I found it easy to click on the recipes for that newsletter and then save them, and have been going through some of those and finding just some really, really delicious things. Of course, they did a sampling of all of that plus recipes out of his cookbooks and then gave us the reference and the listing. So I will individually send some of those down to you as I make them, too, so that we could tell what the favorites were, because by the time the sample passed to the end of the row when we were doing cooking classes, or we'd have aha's, oh, wow, this is good, I'll take seconds on it. Or at dinner time, everybody was, you know, saying what they liked the most, and we were going back and emptying those trays. So obviously some of them stood out more than others, but it was a great experience. What was your other question, Nancy?
What kind of things were you eating that were really big fiber boosters besides beans?
Besides the beans, well, they started out, the buffet was a huge bowl of greens. Now, of course, your greens do not have high fiber. Your lettuce, even your mixed greens do not. But they were the big bowl of greens for the bed on the bottom was followed by always frozen peas, assortment of beans, probably 4 or 5 different kinds of beans, so people could take whatever they liked best or a little bit of all of them, which is usually what I did. It also had corn, so those were all very high fiber that were going into the salad. So you knew that people, and this would be the range, if a person only took one bean or a few peas on the top, they would not get near the amount of fiber that somebody else, like I did, loaded up on, you know, all of them, as much as I could. And then, of course, you came to the soup, which often had more of fiber foods in it. By the way, cooking does alter the fiber, and also processing it through a blender alters the fiber as far as the way the intestinal tract reacts on it. So making everything into a smoothie isn't necessarily the best, even though it may be faster to swallow down. I'll go back to saying, you know, enjoy your food. It's not that you can never do a smoothie. It's just that it's not going to give the same reaction on the body. And especially for someone that, you know, has a problem with constipation to begin with. So then you went after the soup, then you went to the entree, and the entree was your starch dish. And then by the time we got into about the third day, there was no dessert. There was not even fresh fruit at the end. You could always go to the snack room area and get fresh fruit, but it was not part of the served meal. And, you know, nobody even noticed it. Well, I should say we never heard any comments about, you know, they don't even have fresh fruit. Fresh fruit was put out for the morning, but not not with lunch or dinner. So they wanted you to fill your plate coming from the front up, and the people that were on the maximum weight loss, they were looking at having it be the entree be a moderate amount, meaning that not over 50% of your plate should be the entree or the starch. That was what they used as a rule of thumb. And another question, does that answer that one?
This was for lunch and dinner, correct?
Yeah, both lunch and dinner.
And you would start and get everything at one time, or would you, like, get the salad first and then go back for the soup and then go back for the entree?
Well, people did it different ways. Some of them that were really stressing and wanting the maximum, they would go and they'd have one full plate of just salad. I mean, this is a large dinner plate. But then they would go back too and fill their plate with entree because there was no limit on how much you could eat. They did not tell you that. He also explained the first 3 days on this, people would be gorging themselves and thinking that they were going to get hungry in between, so they'd want to eat a huge amount. And he told us that on the third day. He didn't want to make anybody feel bad, I'm sure. And so then that was the truth, because by the time we got three days into it, people were just saying, you know what, I'm not going to be able to eat this much. I'm just going to quit here, you know, and not fill my plate so full, and then go back if there's something I really want, you know, a little bit of more. And so that worked. It worked out just exactly the way he said.
And you weighed only at the beginning and at the end?
Oh, no, we could weigh every day. We had a daily check-in, but it was basically all that was required was the blood pressure. If you wanted to weigh every single day, people did. Otherwise, we weighed once in the middle, beginning, middle, and end was required. I didn't care about getting on the scale because I just knew there was no way I could eat enough to gain weight, and I still lost, as I said, 1 pound. So, but I'm one that when I get up in the morning, normally I get on the scales.
And everybody lost something, I'm sure.
Everybody lost weight, yes. He was complaining that the numbers weren't as good. No, he didn't say weren't going to be at the beginning. Partway through, he says the midway point, he says the numbers are not as good as what I like to see happen, but he said I knew they wouldn't be because we were starting with a thinner group to begin with. So the requirement, you know, was not nearly as great. And so he didn't get the high weight loss. So he knew he wasn't in any competition with previous groups.
This is Maddie from Delaware.
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
You say that the average you could eat like $3 per day.
Uh-huh.
Figure that's $90 per month on a regular 30-day month, or 33
right.
on a 31-day month. It would be interesting to see, I don't know if he would have something like that, a sample of a 30-day month menu. Do you know what I'm saying?
He does have samples of the menus in there. Now, I don't know whether they were based on cost or not,
right.
like I'm saying, because, well, I know they weren't, because he goes for convenience, and when you go for convenience on canned beans, you're going to spend way more than you would if you were using dried beans, see?
Hmm.
And I'm sure the cost would be based on dried beans rather than canned.
I wonder if he wrote him out there, would he do that, since he mentions $3, if he would not give a sample of $3 for 30 days.
You know, there might be a menu. You could Google and see. You could also go to his website and see, and then you can also Google it and see. And I think Wei's trying to say something. Maybe she's already found it.
I found it. Anyway, there is a three-day program that he has, a weekend three-day program that he has. If you go in there, you can download the three-day menu. Out of the three-day menu, that will last you for 30 days because you have a variety of options for breakfast, a variety of options for lunch, and dinner in each day. So if you multiply by all of that, it's more than 30 days worth of menu for you.
And does it give a cost of $3 a day on that particular
No, it doesn't give the amount. But, you know, I believe that's less than, because, like, my shopping for a whole family of five is about $600 a month, the most, I think. You know, and the other three quarters are meat eaters and I'm the plant based. But that was still about that. So, yeah. So, just go back to the zone, how you shop, just all around without going in the central aisle, because that's where all your fresh produce is. So.
Yeah, and Maddie, it's going to depend on the supermarket you're in and what you're doing, because I know Wei took me to the Asian supermarket, and the cost there was a fraction of what you're going to get in a U.S. supermarket. So,
right,
you realize
and then I go to Winco. I go to Winco. I go to
Oh, you go to Winco. Okay, that is a U.S.
Winco, I go Food for Less. I don't care to pay for higher prices and Safeway when they have fresher produce. I go to a place that will go through the produce very fast because that's the most precious. And the ones that slow down, you don't want to go there. And they tend to be more expensive. And then, you know, people don't even touch it. And the stuff that sits there for weeks, you don't know. So find the store.
Would you say this is Winco? Would you spell that? Winco?
W-I-N-C-O.
Yeah,
or
I don't know
Food for Less, but I don't.
Food for Less.
I don't think either one of those particular ones are on the East Coast, but I
and
know they
the
have.
Store,
they
the
have
Asian.
Aldi's around on the East Coast back here, so I know that. But it's the places usually that you have to bag your own groceries, and everything's
right.
Not set out on shelves; it's sitting in cases. And they use local produce, not so much exotic produce.
Yeah, so that's
you know, those kinds of places. You know the difference between the discount grocery stores. There's another one that's called, I just missed it, that's supposed to be national. It's equivalent to cash and carry on the West Coast.
Yeah, cash and carry, they have it too. And they call them here, there's a Smart and Final, but they don't
Smart
have
and
fresh.
Final, that's the
but
other one, yeah.
They don't have much fresh produce, so I've been in those here, and the amount variety of fresh stuff is unhappy. But the best bet is go to your Asian market, because the green section is loaded with greens and stuff. So I don't know. And they turn over daily, so then, you know, it's very fresh, and it's mostly it's local. So
yeah, they have no back room where they keep produce stored. It's put out when it comes in.
So that's the sort of thing you want to do because, you know, the best thing is being local and what's in season and what go in and out very quickly. So the freshest thing you can put in your body. So
thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. Nancy, did that get all you three of your questions? I can't remember what our count was.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Actually, in the Maximum Weight Loss book, there is a sample menu of what you can eat for your three meals. It's not based on price, I don't think, but there are sample menus in here.
Yeah, right. And it's 21 days, Nancy, so that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And the grocery list.
And the grocery list. The grocery list is vital. I was going to make Thai noodles, which they had, I think we had three different versions of Thai noodles down there, like pad Thai. And the last one, the last day, they brought out, and I thought when I saw that tray of noodles, that this they knew was the favorite one because they saved some of the favorite things till the end. And I could not believe it was rave reviews, so I will make sure you guys get that. Did everything except the didn't have the rice noodles when I got home.
Anyway, have the veggie burgers
it's great on the grocery list. And make sure you don't have it, you know, that it, you're not thinking it's in your cupboard when it really isn't.
Sure. Did they have the veggie burgers on your menu?
They did have veggie burgers. My favorite is still between the pecan mushroom ones that Mary Lou sent the recipe down for, and then as a basic, except the one that's easier to handle than that one, is the one that uses the okara, which is the residue left from the milk maker. And so I tend to do those, and I like to bake them instead of putting them on top of the stove because it's just less handling. And then I always throw a stack of them in the freezer because it makes a big batch, 20 or so, or depending on how much you're putting in to start with. So those are easy and very convenient to have on hand.
I have a question.
Yes.
You're saying that cooking changes the food and that processing, of course, we know is not good, but he uses canned beans or else he cooks raw beans. So how does that figure into that equation of all that?
Well, the thing with the canned beans, you really have to watch the sodium content, for one. The process, either way, the dried beans are going to be cooked, so I don't think there's a huge difference in that. I do believe there would be more food value in them from dried to, fresh cooked, but, and I like controlling my texture on them because sometimes I like them firmer and other times I'm going to mash them, so I have that option also in how long I cook them and getting the seasoning through it. Because, as I've said before, one of the easiest ways on doing things is to actually prepare some of your meals a day ahead of time just for the convenience of it, because it can be done, later in the evening, whatever, and you have it the next day for dinner. And then, of course, do big batches and have leftovers, whether you alternate every third, three nights later having the same thing. We don't have to worry about things going bad nearly like you do when you're using animal product in it. That's what always goes bad first. And then the other option is building a big serving of something and freezing it. I did a bean soup that didn't get opened up until, we were on the road and then we were here, so it's been a month and a half. It was frozen, and it tasted exactly the same as fresh.
We are going to eat food that is cooked, obviously.
Right, and he was not a sticker on everything raw, because we hear a lot about raw diets, and he said when they talk about the enzyme activity in raw food, yes, we do need raw in salads and things like that, and raw fruit, not canned, but he says to think that we should be eating everything raw, no. He says stomach enzymes are different than plant enzymes. And he said humans have stomach enzymes to break foods down. So he says don't confuse the fact that we should be eating, 100% raw like some people advocate. He says that is not proven.
But the majority of our, the bulk of our food is raw.
We want more raw.
Right.
Your starches generally are not going to be raw.
Okay.
But more of the other stuff can. And your soup's normally not raw either.
Right.
I mean, yes, gazpacho, but gazpacho, but not a lot of your other ones. And in the wintertime, we tend to eat more hot food than we do in the summertime. But many of the dishes, and they talked about that too, many, many of the dishes can either be served warm or cold. I mean, hot or cold. And room temperature, not excessively hot, not excessively cold, is also easier on the body. It's body temperature. Or close to. It's like I don't ever refrigerate my water or use ice cubes in it, other than when it's at the restaurant, and Denny always asks for the water without ice cubes if it's being served and we haven't taken our own in. But, it just, moved me again further from doing restaurant food, and I packed everything that I ate for the next 2 days out of the seminar because they just said, take it. You're not going to be here the last day. Take what you want. And took it in containers, and, of course, part of the time it wasn't even refrigerated. Nothing spoiled, absolutely nothing.
That's the nice part about eating out when you get a doggy bag. You don't have to worry about it, whether it's 80 degrees out or 20 degrees out.
I had forgotten, not even thought about that one, Nancy.
Char, do you make all of your tomato products, like we used to have the chili, and they have all the...
I do not make all of my beginning tomato products. When I have an overflow of tomatoes in the garden, I will be doing that, but I will not go out and buy tomatoes, and I use fresh tomatoes now very sparingly, only because I don't like the taste of them, nor do I like the price of them. I was looking at cherry tomatoes, and what were they, $6 or $8 a pound? And I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. They don't even taste like tomatoes, let alone pay that amount of money. So it's more like a garnish Benny will eat tomatoes any way, shape, or form as long as they're raw. And so he gets them on his salad. I really don't care whether I have them on or not at this time of the year. So it's not something I do for myself.
The grape tomatoes have a good taste.
They definitely. They were the ones that were $8 a pound, I think.
I buy them in a little package. They probably come up to that, too.
Yeah.
Without realizing it.
Yeah. It's I don't normally figure those things out, but I was looking at them and thought, I wonder, you know, there's only so many ounces in this. What am I really paying for these things?
Yeah, yeah.
To garnish something, I thought, oh, dear, I can not use that. So there's lots of substitutes we can do when we're doing these things, but they opened up another whole door, and I mentioned that we ended up having four different chefs that did cooking for us, and that was really, really, really fun. Plus, the whole crew at the facility that does it. Did I tell you the April Fool's joke they played on McDougal just for fun?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, you know the guy that reads the labels, Jeff Novick? Okay, he is on staff now. He was a student of Dr. McDougal's. That's how he got started on eating this way. And so he has come on board with Dr. McDougal, so he is just a ball of fun. You can tell from his personality. It's fun to hear him deliver that same exact word-for-word canned presentation in front of a small live group. There was actually 31 of us. I just got the email list. 31 of us there. I thought it was under 30. But the total count. And so he came up with this idea, throwing it out to the audience one morning when before April 1st, that they would have a Godfather's pizza delivered to him during his presentation on April 1st. So we didn't hear anything more about it, and one of the gals kind of got irritated that would be rude to interrupt his talk, but nobody else said anything. And so bang, bang, bang on the door. He's about 20 minutes into his serious lecture in the morning after the questions and answers were all over with. And nobody got up to open the door like they normally do. Somebody always runs for the door. We all just sat there, and he went to the door, and here's his pizza delivery man, steps right into the room so everybody could see him, and he says, two pizzas for McDougal. He says, Dr. McDougal just looked at him, and he says, where's McDougal? Who's McDougal? And he goes, I'm McDougal. And he looked at him, he says, two pizzas for you. And he stood there, and he still looked at him, he was just dumbfounded. And finally he opened the box, and he goes, there are pizzas in there. And he said, that's right. Meat lovers pizzas, two of them. So anyway, he looked at him, and he goes, and I suppose they've been paid for. And he goes, nope, $34. He says, I don't have any money. Tell them at the front desk that they're going to have to put this on my account. And then everybody screamed, April Fools. And he says, well, obviously we're not going to eat these. And so the delivery man happened to be a chef out of the kitchen that he did not recognize. He says, these were made on premise, especially for you. He says, so you guys enjoy everything on them, even though they look like authentic meat and cheese, was right for us. It was all plant-based, so anyway, and they were very good. I'd love to have the recipe of exactly what they did to them, but anyway, they were great. So anyway, that was the joke, and they really did get him because he was beat red at one point. So it was a lot of fun. Okay, any other questions? Any way I can help you guys, that the group here can help you?
What is Jeff Novak's website, does he have one?
He does have one, and I think it's just jeffnovick.com. I'm not sure. There will be a link. His full presentation, I think, is on McDougal's website now. Go to McDougal's. He says, this is really funny. He says, I'm getting more hits now that I'm on McDougal's site than I did when I was, still do on my own site, because people are seeing it there and going to it, because that is, McDougal's site is an incredibly popular website, as we found out with all the people that were down there. There was one gal that I talked to that didn't even have a clue what she was coming to. She just knew it would be something good. She did not have a clue that it was a plant-based diet. So that was very interesting. Anyone else?
One.
You know what? We've overextended our time already. I'm sorry. We had little participation, but you guys were great. I hope you got your questions answered, all of you. Anybody have any final comments they'd like to make or questions? I finally looked at my watch.
I appreciate you dripping information from your sojourn.
Well, I will try and do that, or you can ask me anything. I don't want it to be a daily routine when I'm on the call, but I knew that there was, a little bit more that I wanted to bring out initially. So those were a couple of things that were on my mind. So anyway, you guys have an absolutely wonderful day. And I'm here in New York. I know my line is plugged with messages back home, so I am here if anybody needs to get a hold of me. So anyway, take care and have a wonderful day.
Thank
you, sir. If you found anything of help to you, please pass the number on to other people. And yes, it is a great way of prospecting people and getting to know them better. So make it a wonderful one.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.